We are holding on Mem Aleph, Omid Aleph, second line of the wide line. We talked about the idea that it has to be hitter after the Misa, that it has to be that there has not only the person says, I hear what you're saying as far as the Hasra, but also I accept that I'm going to be Chayiv Misa if I do it on the basis of what you're saying. So, Omar Khanan, Eide Naira Hamayrosa Shahuzmu. What happens in the specific case of a Naira Hamayrosa, like in this week's Pasha? If Adim come to say that she was Mizana, now, if on the face of it, they're coming to say that she should be Chayiv Misa. However, but now they turn out to be Adim Zetman, Lachora, we should do Kasha Zomam, the Vasi Sumla Kasha Zomam, so they should be Chayiv Skila. No, you don't execute them, because they could claim that they're actually only coming not to make her Chayiv Misa, but rather just to make her Oster to her husband. We know that a woman is
Oster to their husband.
No, well, you can't do that. Yeah, so they get Malchus, I guess, fine, but they wouldn't get Misa. They could say La Oistra by Labanu, and therefore, in other words, they never intended to cause her Misa in the first place. So we have to examine that. For Hasruba. What do you mean? They gave her Hasra. Now, they didn't actually give her Hasra, the Bach points out, because after all, we're talking about their Adim Zimmerman. But they claim that they gave her Hasra on the face of it. If they claim they gave her Hasra, that means they meant so they meant Lahurga. So how are you telling me that now they can turn around and say, huh? Then so it's the why Hasruba. Fine, you're talking about a case they didn't give her Hasra. Okay, well, the obvious question really, Hasruba, Hechim Mithila. Fine, in that case, then, how could she have been killed? If there was no possibility of her getting killed. Then obviously we're not going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we have to be talking about a case where they intended to get her killed, but yet they're able to weasel out of it and say, what is that scenario? The answer is, the Isha Chavera, we can be talking about where she is a Chaver, where she is a Tamid Chacham, or Tamidas Chacham, whatever you'd call it for a woman, hello, that she knows the Dinim. She knows the Dinim. And this statement would work only according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Chaver ain't Tzarech Hasra. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says that a Chaver, in fact, does not need Hasra. Hello? Because the whole purpose of Hasra is to distinguish between whether you're Shogig and whether you're Mazid.
We were
saying that if you have a case of Edim on a Naira HaMayrosa, that she was Mizana, we would say that if we're Mazim men, we don't execute them, even though on the face of it they were coming to get her killed, because they can argue that they can argue that they were only coming to after her to her husband. So we're trying to figure out what would be the scenario if they didn't give her
if we were Mazim these eight.
Yeah. So what's the scenario over here? If they gave her Asra, then if they gave her Asra, it means they gave her Asra. They knew that they were trying to get her killed, and then she was mafia. They didn't actually give. We're four or five lines into six lines into the wide line, the Mem Aleph Omid Aleph. If they gave her Asra, or now they didn't actually give her Asra, they're Adim Zimmerman, nothing actually happened. But if they claim they gave her Asra, then they have no excuse. They obviously meant to get her executed. And if you didn't give her Asra, then there's no possibility of her being executed. Then, of course, there's no Chiddush that you don't execute them. Kasha Zoma. So we're saying,
even though they intended,
if they didn't give her Asra, there's no possibility of intention. Then for sure, if they say in their Eidos that they didn't give Asra, then there's nothing to talk about. But the answer is no. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, if she is a chaver, if she knows the halachas, then in fact she does not need Asra, because according to him, the whole point of Asra is lahavkin ben shogeg lemezid, is in order to distinguish between shogeg and mezid. A chaver then obviously doesn't need Hasra, because they know. The Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim say even a chaver, it's possible that he can forget.
That's the
halacha is like the Chachamim. But here we're talking, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that they have the ability to say, yes, we didn't give her Hasra. Now, it is true she is a chaver. Had we truthfully given her Hasra and she was not given her Asura. Even if we hadn't given her Asura, it would have been enough to get her executed because she's a potter. In the end, it turns out they're Edom Zomim. According to Rabbi Yosef, in the end, it turns out they're Edom Zomim. So therefore, therefore they can argue that after all, on the other hand, we didn't give her Asura not because she's a potter, but because we never intended to get her executed in the first place. We only wanted to come and say Edom and based in that she's also her husband.
So they can weasel out.
Because they can say that the purpose of our Edom was not to testify that she should be chayv. But nevertheless, they can say when we came to Beis Din, if they give Asura, then obviously Asura means they wanted to have her put to death. Then there's no getting out of it. But if they didn't, if according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, they didn't give Asura, there's two parts. In most cases, it wouldn't matter because in the case of a chaver killing or whatever, it doesn't matter. There's no other possibility other than that you're coming to cause a misa. But in the case of a Naira HaMairasa, or in general, I guess, a case of an Ashes Ish, there's two possibilities. You could be coming to Beis Din. You could be saying that you're coming to after her on her husband. You could be saying that you're coming to give her Misa. Now that they turn out to be Zomim, and they have the ability to argue that after all, we only came to Beis Din in the first place, not with the intention of being Mechayev her Misa, but with the intention of asking her to her husband.
My question is,
I understand your question. Why does it matter their intention? Because their intention matters. What are they testifying about?
So it's
about?
Not enough with saying to give Asra.
According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, in the case of a Chava, you don't need Asra.
But you need intent?
You need the Edom need to have intent. That of course, the person who's doing the Avera needs to have intent. But we're saying that according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the person who did the Avera is a chaver, you assume that they had intent. You assume they know what is usher and what's not. And therefore the Edom would be able to come and then have them subjected to the death penalty on that basis. But like this, now that the Edom turn out to be Zomim, they're able to argue, on the other hand, given that we never gave Hasra, you based and have no proof we wanted to have her executed. Fine, so that's what it is. That's what we're saying.
But my question is, you just mentioned an extra factor here, the fact that they consider her chaver and
she's known to be a chaver.
She's known to be a chaver.
Therefore, according to the Yosef Yehuda, no Asura.
They still have to have an intent.
They're coming to Beis Din with an intent. Of course, they're coming with an intent. Their intent is to come
I'm
and give Eidos in Beis Din.
Well, how they come? I'm asking, do they need to show an intent to have her killed?
I don't understand. Who do they need to show has an intent? We assume she's a chaver. She has intent. They came to Beis Din. They have an intent.
Yeah.
Okay.
So nobody has to prove that they have an intent.
Okay. I'm not sure I get what you're asking, but let's go on. Maybe it'll become clear in the discussion. Okay. The question is, but given the inner limitly, well, now we have to ask the other way around. If it turns out in the end we're not able to execute them because they're able to claim that they only came to after her to her husband, they never intended to have her put to death in the first place, then you have to ask. Then how would you be able to execute her either? Don't you have over here a case of Eidos that cannot be Muzam? In other words, Eidos where it's not possible to do the punishment to them that they intended to do. Because they can claim that there was no Hasra because they never intended to have her executed. So then, in other words, if they have the excuse that they can't be executed, Avraham Moshe, just a second. Let me explain the Gemara first, and then we'll see if that answers your question. For Eidos to be kosher, it has to be Eidos Shata Yochel Azima. There has to be the capability that these Edom will be found Edom Zomim, and the penalty that they wanted to do to their victim is what's going to be done to them instead, or something similar. It could be Malchus, for example, instead. In a case like this, if they argue that all we wanted was Oitzra Abayla, meaning, in other words, they're arguing that they shouldn't be subject to any penalty as Edom Zomim because there's no parallel penalty that can be done to them as Edom Zomim. Well, in that case, then there's no possibility of executing her either because if
the verse is also true.
If we knew to begin with that they weren't coming to have her executed, then there'd be nothing to talk about. The fact that we're saying that even though had she been found guilty, she would have been executed. And yet we're saying because they were found guilty as Edom Zomim, they have an excuse out of it. But on the other hand, now if you look at it from that point, now if you go from that angle, because they can't be Muslim, because you can't do to them Vasisim like Kasha Zamam, it comes out as Edos Shi'iyati, because they can argue that they were doing it L'Oisra Baila. Therefore, working backwards from that, it means, in other words, therefore it wasn't a valid Edos in the first place. Havula Edus Shiyata Yochel Azima. Now you have an Edus that can't be Muzim. V'chol Edus Shiyata Yochel Azima Lo Shmo Edus. An Edus that cannot be Muzim is not considered an Edus. So in other words,
it has nothing to do with Hasra.
There was no Hasra. Had there been Hasra, they wouldn't have the excuse. What makes this work is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that you don't need Hasra. If there would have been Hasra, they wouldn't have the excuse for Oisra by Labonu. If you're for Oisra by Labonu, why are you giving her Hasra?
She's a Chaver, right?
Because she's a Chaver, therefore they're arguing we didn't need to do Hasra. Nevertheless, so to begin with, they come to Beis Din saying she was Nadana. We didn't ask, where is Hasra? We didn't give her Hasra. She was a Chaver. We would say, okay, she's Chayav Misa. Now we're saying, no, that... If the din was like a Rabbi Yehuda, now we're saying in the end it turns out that they're Edom Zomim. Now we're turning around and saying there was no Asra, there was no nothing. Yimono Hayisim B'makom Ploni, you were elsewhere, etc. Now though they have the ability to all of a sudden turn around and argue that we only came to begin with to after her on her husband. But what that accomplishes therefore is that retroactively undoes their whole Edus. It means that their Edus to begin with was an Edus Shiyata Yochel Hazima. There was no possibility if their Edus was indeed meant to have her executed, or even if not, if their Edus was also meant, was meant to after her on her husband, how can that be considered a valid Edus if there's no possibility of Vasi Samlai Kasha Zama? The answer is, Hachi Nami Kama. Yes, as a matter of fact, that's exactly the point that we're making. That's exactly the point that Rav Hanan is making. B'toch she'en neherogim, precisely because we're not able to execute them. And the reason for that is, why is that? Because they can argue that we only came to after her to her husband, therefore, even had they not been Edom Zomim, even had they not been Muzim, we could not execute her on that basis. To have your Edus Shiyata Yochel Azima, because it would be an Edus that can't be Muzim. So even though it is true, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, from the fact that they couldn't be executed because they have that out. So therefore, even though it is true, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda usually says, Chavar Ein Tzara Hasra, this case would be an exception. If they didn't give Hasra, and therefore that gives them the ability to argue that La'osra by Labanu, then what that accomplishes is therefore that because of that lack of Hasra, also ends up meaning that she can't be executed.
So it can't be real Edus.
It is real Edus, but in other words, it can't be Edus that could have gotten her executed. It can be La'osra by La, after all. It can make her also to her husband if they're not Edus Zaydim, but not more than that.
Execution.
Okay, now what? According to the Yehuda,
you don't need Asra.
Right.
So what do you need to convey?
You need Edus, and you need that they saw the person do it.
It's a circular reasoning. We say without Asra, there's no Edus.
In this specific case, let's say, for example, let's forget about Znus for a second. Let's say they saw an Isha Chavera, for example, killing somebody.
Okay.
There's no possibility of Oisra Baila. It's either you're having her put to death or not. There's no other possibility that you're coming to Beis Din for. So then, they didn't give Hasra. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter. Hasra is not necessary. They saw her do it. And that's it. That's the point. But in this specific case of Naira Hamayrasa, because there's two possibilities why they could be coming to Beis Din, La'oistra Baila and to have her executed, and since they have the ability to argue afterwards, after they were Muslim, that we only came La'oistra Baila, what that means, even before they were Muslim, it can't cause that they can have her executed.
You have another layer of need. Of course you do.
Okay, I'm okay.
Yeah. If you make an extra condition, they have to have an intent.
They always have an intent. They, the Edom, always have an intent. We said yesterday they don't
have an intent.
Okay, so the question is, Ela b'isha chaveira d'kaim alon d'mikdala libid Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. New, though, the fact of the matter is, we do know, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, there can be a case of an isha chaveira who can be executed without hasra. And we know that because back in the first parak we talked about the case of the Moiti Shemra. We had over there that you have one opinion that it's judged by 3, and the other opinion that it's judged by 23 because it involves dinin afashos. And we talked back and forth there about the possibility that maybe what we mean is you start with a base din of 3 and then you augment it to 23 if necessary, or maybe the other way around, you start with 23 and dismiss the extra ones if you don't need them. So we got into the discussion over there that according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you can have a case where she's a chaveira and yet she's chayav misa. The question is, what's the scenario? According to Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, you don't need hasura. So therefore, and you just established that according to that, she wouldn't be able to be executed. There'd be no possibility of dinin nefashos. So what is that scenario where Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda would say, even though there's no hasura, she's still able to be executed, which would also mean, by the way, the Edim Zomim don't have that out. What is that scenario? The answer is kshezinsa v'chazra v'zinsa. You can have a case where she was mezana with one person, and then she was mezana again. So now, when the Edim come for the second znus, they can't say we're coming to after her to her husband. She's already also from the first time around. So therefore, obviously, they must be coming to get her executed. Okay, the question is, don't they still have the argument that they can say that we came to Beis Din not to get her executed for the second znus, but just to declare that she's also to the second boil? In other words, again, she was married to Yankel. First she was Mizana with Reuben. That makes her also to Yankel and to Reuben. Later on she's Mizana with Shimon.
And then she's not executed because...
Because we didn't have evidence for it, whatever, let's say. But now if she's Mizana with Shimon, on the face of it, can't they argue that we're still not coming to be mechayev her skila for these nus with Shimon? We're only coming to say that now we're only coming to give edus and Beis Din that will result that now she's also to ever marry Shimon, because that's the kashen shatzur labal kachasur laboil. The answer, and by the way, there is a good deal of discussion about this among the Achronim. By the way, the Agoras Ma'arav Ranchburg on the bottom of the daf over here refers to a Mishnah Lamelach on Hilchos Sota, and then who quotes from Aaron Safson, and then there's a whole discussion. The Pisva Truva gets into it. A lot of Achronim get into the interesting question. We say Shem Shatzur Labal Kachasur Laboil. What about, though, Taka, in a case like this? She's already also to her husband. Does she, in fact, become also to the second boil or not? On the face of it, all Gemara seems to imply that yes, because the Gemara is saying that, and conceivably they could be saying that La Oistra Baila Shem. The Pischa Truva, at the very end of Ebn Ezer, has a long discussion about this, quoting these various authorities, pro and con on it. He says, Adarabba, from this Gemara, you could understand a proof to the contrary. He explains over there, you could be talking about that the Edim are coming for the second Nus. Nobody had ever come yet for the first Nus. So therefore, they're saying, La'oistra by Lasheni, Al-Boy Lasheni. Only in that case are they coming to after her on the second one, or the one who turns out to be the second one, that is. There was a first one which hasn't been reported to Beis Din yet, basically. So therefore, Adrabi, you could have a proof from that in fact the second boil wouldn't be also to her because she's already also to her first husband. There's no Kashem Shatzer Labal Kachatzer Laboil because she's already also to the Baal before. Okay, it's a long discussion.
The first is news. She would be also for any time, second, third.
For anyone
else in the world. She's obviously also to be Mizana with anybody else. Shem Shatzur Labal Kachasur Laboil means even if she divorces her husband or her husband dies, she's still never allowed to marry Reuben, who she was Mizana with as an Eshetish. Now the question is, does the same apply to Shimon? If her husband dies, fine, she's also to Reuben forevermore, we know that. Is she also to Shimon?
Yeah,
that's the question. So you could look at it either way based on our Gemara. All right, anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So the question is, again, don't they have the out to argue that they're only coming to after her on somebody, not to be Mechayev her Misa? The answer is...
But it's the same, isn't it?
No, we're trying to figure out. If we said Kshezinsa v'chazra v'zinsa, we're saying the case is she was Mizana again, we're on the face of it, she's already also from the first time, but now maybe we're saying...
Also for the second time.
Okay. So the answer is Shizinsum Boyol Rishin. Fine, but you don't have to be talking about a case where there's Reuben and Shimon, two different Boyolim over here. You can be talking about she's Mizana again with Reuben. Then there's for sure nothing else for Reuben being the Boyol Rishin. So she's already also to her husband Yankel. She's already also to Reuben. Now when the Edim come and testify that she was Mizana a second time with Reuben, there's nothing else to add. Obviously, they must be coming from Misa. That would be a case where the order would say, even though there was no Hasra, it has to be they have no other out, they have no other excuse that they're coming La Oistra or somebody. It has to be they're coming according to the Chachamim, you still need Hasra. According to the Chachamim, this whole scenario never happens because every time Edim are coming to Beis Din, either you gave Hasra, in that case we're going to go ahead with it as Dinin Nefashos, or you didn't give Hasra, and then there's nothing to talk about. Yeah. Okay. inami, or another possibility, shizinta mikredeha. Another possibility could be, what if they're coming and giving edus that she was mezana with one of her relatives? She's already also to them anyway, again, even if it's the first time. There's no kashem shasur labal, kahasur laboil. She's also to the guy anyway. So that could be another example. Okay. Fine. So the question is, maishna naira merosa dinoka. Fine. Fine. So far, so good. But why is Rav Chanan specifically talking about a case of naira merosa, which is chayef skila, after the nesua nami? Based on what we just explained, the same rule would apply if she was a regular married woman where they were coming to give her chenek or to ask her to her husband, as the case may be, then the same rule would apply. Why do we choose just Naira Amayrosa? Okay. The answer is ain. Yes, indeed, that's true. Ella, no. The reason why we mention Naira Amayrosa is to tell us a chiddush. Afilu haidla yasva tuse, even in a case of a Naira Amayrosa, where she's not actually living with him yet. So therefore, Yasmatuse literally means sitting underneath or with him. Yeah, in other words, they're not actually having married life together yet. She's only an Arusa. And you would think, in a case like that, why would they even be thinking about La'oisra Abayla? The obvious thing to think of is they're coming to be Mechayev or Misa. Mela, if she's already married for many years, finally, you want to say La'oisra Abayla. We're coming to say, even though she's been married for 20 years, now we want to say, nevertheless, she and her husband have to get divorced. A Naira Amayrosa, where they haven't even actually lived together as married yet. You would think the Edim have no reason
to get.
Of course she needs a get, but you would think the Edim are not thinking of that. The Edim for sure must be thinking of Dini Nefashis. Nevertheless, even in a case like that, that was Rav Chanan's point. According to Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, nevertheless, they still have the excuse that we only came La'oisra Abayla and we didn't come to be Mechayev, and we didn't come to be Mechayev.
He's considered a Baal.
He is a Baal, but the same rule of Kashem Shastur Labal, Kashastur Laboyo would apply there too.
Yeah,
even though they're true. And Arusa is also to the Arusa,
but is he considered a Baal?
Yes, to that extent. Fine. Okay, another deen. Omer of Chista. Echad Omer Basai of Hoger, we talked about this briefly in the previous parak. Rav Chista says, if one aid says that he killed him with a sword, and the other one says he killed him with an ariron, which is like an axe or a spear or whatever, some other kind of weapon, that's not considered when the pasuk says that the two, what the aidim say has to be compatible. That's not compatible, and therefore we have no aids. On the other hand,
two different weapons.
Yeah. On the other hand, echad Omer Kelev Shchorin veEchad Omer Kelev Levanim. On the other hand, if one of them says he was wearing that Caleb means his clothes. If one says that his clothes were white and were black, and the other one says his clothes were white, Hareza Nochain, then that's still considered Nochain because that's not essential. That has nothing to do with the actual, that's a side.
Let me ask you a question. They say it's the same weapon, but one is black and one is white. One aid says it's a black weapon and the other it's the same weapon.
Let's see in the next few lines of the Gemara and you'll have your answer. So according to Rav Chista, in other words, in short, when it comes to bedikos, as opposed to, we have the hakiris in the Mishnah, we have the sheva hakiris, we had the bedikos that were mentioned in the Mishnah that are essential to the case, for example, what weapon or whatever desara or what have you, and then they have the bedikos that are on side things, like the color of their clothing. According to Rav Chista, if they contradict each other in that second type of bedikos, that's okay.
According to all the other, that's
what we have to figure. Maybe I have a contradiction. Right. A braita says when it says nochin means shiyehe nochin means that what the two edim say has to be compatible. Therefore, echadem of a sayif hogoy, but echadem of a rirun hogoy. So if one says it was with a sword and the other one says it was with an axe, or echadem a kelev shchorin, but echadem a kelev levonim, or one says it was black clothes and the other says it was white clothes, ein zeh nochin. In either case, it's not nochin. According to Rav Chista, nochin means compatible.
Yeah.
So therefore, according to Rav Chista, what does Rav Chista do with that braisa? According to that braisa, it doesn't matter whether the contradiction was in the essential bedikas or the non-essential bedikas. Either way, the answer is Tirgum Rav Chista. Rav Chista can answer that braisa is talking about not we're talking about what clothes was he wearing. The Sudar Shachonka, right? Let's say, for example, the Edom are coming and saying that Reuven strangled Shimon with a piece of cloth. So there's the answer to your question. The question of the color of the scarf is essential to the Aegis because that's the actual murder weapon is the scarf. So therefore, yes, it becomes important whether it was black or white. Mashenkin, if he killed him in some other way, and if it happened, he was wearing a black shirt or a white shirt, that Rav Chista would say is not important.
And Rav Chista and the Chachamim agree on that?
No, that's only according to Rav Chista.
Right.
Wait, Toshma, come, let's bring from another Braisa. Echadim is sandal of shchorim, v'echadim is sandal of levonim. If one aid says that he was wearing black sandals and the other says he was wearing white sandals, ain't a nochon. It's not nochon. In other words, the aidim contradict each other, and we throw out the aidus. Lechora, there we're talking about something that's a side thing.
Unless the weapon was a shoot.
Well, that's the answer. That's the answer. Hosam namik, you're going to be bought by the sandal. Yes, you could be talking about a case. The Braisa could be talking about a case where he kicked him with a sandal and that's how he killed him. So again, the sandal itself is the murder weapon.
Right?
Okay. Toshma.
The sharp sandal.
What?
Sharp sandal.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, you have sharp sandal. Okay, I mean, you haven't gifted over the story of Bar Kochva killing Rabbi Lozer Hamudoi by kicking him.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't the sandal. It was
well, fair enough.
Of course, it was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's true, yeah. Yeah, okay. Toshma, Maiso, we had an our Mishnah, Maiso, Bodak, Mazaka, Be'ukta, Te'ena. We said in the Mishnah that it happened once that Ben Zakkai tested the egg, examined the egg by asking them about the stems of the fig. Lechura, that's completely a side thing.
The stems of the fig.
The stem, whether they were thick or thin stems, yeah. The answer is Amar Rami Bachamach, we're going to Okat, Te'ena, B'Shabbos. Fine, but the case is not talking about a murder case, it's talking about a case of Chilul Shabbos. They're bringing aiders on a person that he pulled a fig off a tree on Shabbos, which is
the
a malacha.
Fig is the
malacha mitzil. Then the question of what the stems were like is essential because that's the actual thing,
right.
That's the actual object that he did the malacha with. Okay, the question is about Tanya, but we learned in a braisa that the scenario was omruloi tachasein horogoi, that they said the aidim said that Pliny killed Pliny under a fig tree, and Ben Zakkai asked, okay, were the stems of the figs thin or thick? So there for sure, you have to say that that's a side thing. That has nothing to do, that it wasn't the lechura, it wasn't the murder weapon then. Ella Omer Rami Bachama says, no, Rami Bachama says, you're right. You have to answer, fine, let's say the case was that they're coming and accusing the guy that he stabbed him with a branch from a fig tree. So then the question is,
what?
Well, fine, tachasena, fine. He ripped off a branch and stabbed the guy with it. So the question is, what does the branch look like?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The problem with that is Toshma, Omelahen, Te'enu Zu, Ukseh Dakin, Ukseh Gassin. We learn in another Braith, some more details, that he's asking, Ben Zakkai is asking them, this fig tree, were the stems thin or thick? And a further question, Te'enu Mishchodas, Te'enu Mavonis. What color were the figs on the tree? Were they black figs or white figs? Now, the figs were obviously not part of the murder weapon. You can't stab a guy with figs.
But it's a circumstance.
That's the question. The Braisa seems to be saying, therefore, now that we have this last Braisa, that even when it comes to the side things, even when it comes to setting the scene, if the Adam contradict each other, no good, because otherwise Ben Zakkai has no reason to ask them this question. But according to the Chista, that wouldn't matter. That kind of side thing wouldn't matter. The answer is Elo Amar of Yosef. So Rav Yosef answers me, Ben Zakkai, like the finish. Are you trying to bring a contradiction based on what Ben Zakkai says? Shiny Ben Zakkai, the Bedikas Tachakiris Meshavi Lai. It's different. Ben Zakkai evidently holds that Bedikas are like Chakiris in the sense that you do ask as many Bedikas as possible, and if they contradict each other, then that's it. It's not Nachoin. Ben Zakkai holds the same as Kuru Bedikas. Doesn't mean the Chachamim have to agree with him on that. Rav Chista could go according to the other opinions other than Ben Zakkai. Okay, so now we have to ask, Man Ben Zakkai, who is this Ben Zakkai we're talking about? Elim Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai, are you going to say that it is Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai? The problem with that is, we have a Sanhedrin. Did Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai ever sit on a Sanhedrin during the period when they judged Dinin Foshes? Well, Tanya, what we learn in the Braisa, Kol Shnois of Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai may have etzim shana, the lifespan of Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai was 120 years. There's a medrash, I think, Sifri, lists 6 leaders of the Jewish people, if I remember correctly, that all lived to 120. There's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's Hillel, there's Rabbi Akiva, there's Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, and I don't remember who the other two are. Maybe it was only four, I don't know.
Who cites that?
I think the Sifri says it.
Sifri?
Yes. The 120 years divided up as follows. Aboim Shana Osek the Prakmatia, the first 40 years he was involved in business. Mem Shana Loma, the next 40 years he learned full-time. Avon Shana Limit, in the next 40 years he taught full-time, meaning that he became a Dayan, just who's worthy of sitting on the Sanhedrin. Zetanya, but we learn in another braisa. Avraham shana kodem korban abayis, 40 years before the korban, the second korban. Golsa Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin went into Golos, the Yashvalava Chanus, and they relocated to Chanus, to an area of stores or whatever on the Harabayis, because they couldn't judge din in nefashos. They couldn't judge din in nefashos anymore. There was getting to be a point where there were too many rotsim, too many murderers, so they didn't have the ability to keep up with it. Especially since the famous thing that it says in Makos that of Sanhedrin executes a person once within every 7 years, and it's considered a destructive based in. So therefore, they decided in that case, given that we can only do it hamakom gerim, given we can only judge dinim nefashos in lishkas hagazis, fine, we'll move from lishkas hagazis, and then if they then it's out of our purview anymore. Then the Eishter will deal with it. Tosfos a few blocks ago mentioned that it may be that sometimes in exceptional cases during those 40 years, maybe they could return to the lishkas hagazis temporarily and judge a case.
Because
of the Romans, because of the Jewyonim, because of the Sukkim, who knows? I mean, you had a... No, I mean, at that period of time, there were the Roman governors, procurators, they're called, and then for a short time, there was Agrippas over there, and then there were more procurators. Apparently, there was nobody in charge over there to be able to keep things in. Okay. And... And Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadimi says, what's the point of that the Sanhedrin moved from the Lishkas HaKnosis? Loimash le'danu dinei knosis. That means to say that during those 40 years, they didn't judge dinei knosis. So the Gemara immediately asks, what do you mean dinei knosis? What do you mean they didn't judge dinei knosis? Why not? All you need for that is smicha. It doesn't have to be only in the Lishkas HaKnosis. Ella, no. What he means is she le'danu dinei nefashis. It means during that period, those last 40 years, they didn't judge dinei nefashis. Okay, so in other words, so far we have the last 40 years of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai's life is when he was sitting on the Sanhedrin. The last 40 years of the Beis Hamikdash was when they weren't judging Dinei Nefashos anymore. And Utnan, Mishachara Beis Hamikdash, Utnan, and we have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that mentions Mishachara Beis Hamikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai. It mentions a number of takonis that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. In other words, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai lived for some time after the Korban, at least a year or two or whatever. So therefore it means that the 40 years when he was a Dayan started within 40 years before the Churban. By that time, they were out of Lishkas HaGozes.
Right.
So how do we have a case where if Ben Zakkai means Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, how do you have a case where he's asking the Edom about the stems of the fig tree in a case of Dinei Nefashos? Ella Ben Zakkai d'Alma. No, the answer is you must say it was some other Ben Zakkai. Okay. The Gemara says, Hochi Nami Mistaber. Yes. We don't know. I mean, the name Zakkai, you find the name Zakkai in Tanakh. So it's a name that was apparently in occasional use in those days. I don't know. Okay, and in fact, Hokinami Mesaber, yeah, it seems logical to understand it that way. Because if you're going to say it was really Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, Korile Rebbe Ben Zakkai, would Rebbe in the Mishnah just write it as Ben Zakkai? And you would write him with his full title.
Only after this do we say this point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, the problem with that is, Valtanya Maiso Bodek Rabon Yechon Ben Zakkai Bo'uchtetainim. We have another Braisa that clearly identifies him as Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. So what are you doing with that?
I would love to have been in the issue, but
it
was
someone
brought that one up.
It was not after all.
Okay. Ella, no. We must say, no, because this is only Dinei Nefashos. Ella, no. The answer is like this. Talmud HaYoshev L'Snei Rabbi Abba. When this story happened, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai was during the middle period. He was a Talmud still sitting in front of the Rebbe. He was one of the three rows in front of the base over there that we learned about previously. But Omar Milsa, when this case came up, he said something to the Dayanim, who were his Rebbes. He argued that Lechora we should be checking the Edim on Bedikis. We should be asking them things like the stems of the fig tree and see if they contradict each other and have thereby a reason to throw out the case. They found what he said to be logical, and as we learned in the Mishnah, as we learned in the previous Perek, if a Talmud says something in favor of the defendant, then Taka, you bring him up onto the Beis Din.
And therefore
they established this statement in his name. They said, from then on, it became a standard part of the Mishnayos that Ben Zakkai had said. So what happened? Kiyav Alamed, when he was still learning, Ben Zakkai have a Korele, then they called him Ben Zakkai, Ketamud HaYoshev L'Fnei Rabbi, because that's what you call him when he was a Talmud, sitting in front of Rebbe, not Reb Yechon Ben Zakkai yet. Kiyav Alamed, later on, when he taught, have a Korele, Rabban Yechon Ben Zakkai. Then they started calling him Rabban Yechon Ben Zakkai. So therefore, Ki Korele Ben Zakkai, Al Shem Demi'ifra. So our Mishnah called him Ben Zakkai because that's what he was at the time. That's what he was at the time. Because he was in Talmud at the time.
It was
Korele, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. When the Braisa that we just quoted calls him Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, Al Shem Dehashta, that's it. Because, no, the Braisa is calling him by the name by which he became famous later. Later on in history, he became famous as Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, and therefore the Braisa calls him that. you know what, think of it. I mean, think of it in modern terms, for example. It would be like, you know, you have stories of the Rebbe from when he was younger. You know, you have stories like from 10 years before the Rebbe took over the Nasirs, when everybody called him the Ramash, you know. So sometimes you'll hear stories where they call him the Ramash. And sometimes, though, when you're telling over the story, you'll say the Rebbe did such and such, even though he wasn't the Rebbe at the time. Same idea. So we call them, our Mishnah calls him Ben Zakkai, because that's what they called him at the time. The Braitha calls him Ben Zakkai, because that's what he's famous in history as. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Maiso, Bada Chola Mabin Chakiris Chola, we said in the Mishnah, what's the difference between Chakiris and Bidikas? We said like this, with Chakiris, if any of the Eidim, with seven Chakiris, if any one of the Eidim says, I don't know, then that's it, the Eidim is bottle. On the other hand, with Bidikas, if one of them says, I don't know, or the Mishnah said, even if both of them say, we don't know, then Eidus and Kayem. And then the Mishnah continued, both the Chakiris and Bidikas, if they contradict each other, Eidus and Kayem, which means not like Reb Chista said on Amar Aleph. If they contradict each other in the Bidikas, if they contradict each other on the color of the clothes or the size of the stems or whatever, we do talk to throw out the Eidus. The halacha is like Ben Zakkai in that regard. The halacha is like Ben Zakkai, not like the other Chachamim would disagree with that.
Rav Chista is an Amora.
Rav Chista is an Amora. He was talking according. Rav Chista was talking according to the other Tanoim who disagree with Ben Zakkai, who disagree with Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai. But nevertheless, the halacha is. It's not the final halacha. Okay. So the question is, my afilu oim shnaim oim. What does the Mishnah mean by saying? It said that if when it comes to bedikas, if one of them says I don't know, or even if both of them say I don't know, then the edus is fine. So the question is, what do you mean afilu? Pshita, isn't it obvious? Ki oma echad edia dey edus and kayemus. If we're saying that if one of them says I don't know, then nevertheless we're saying the edus is valid. Ki amu beit shrei nami edus and kayemus. Obviously, then if both of them say, if the other one says I don't know, it shouldn't add or subtract anything. Either way, it amounts to the same thing. It amounts to you don't have a full edus on this particular detail on the color of his clothes, and yet the Mishnah is saying it's fine. Why does the Mishnah need to point out that even if neither one knows what color shirt he was wearing, then it's okay? Rav Shesha says that part when it says even if two of them is actually talking about the Resha, it's actually referring back to the case of Chakiris, namely Bahakama, Bahakiris, when it, not with Bidikas, but when it comes to Chakiris, Filu Shnaim Omim Yadainu, the Echad Oma any Yadea, what if you have you don't just have to have two Adim come to base on something. You can have a group of three Adim come to base in. And we consider them one group. So then, in Chakiris, if two of them say Yodainu, when we say in the Mishnah, Afilu Shnaim Oimrim, Ein Onu Yodi. That means that Rav Sheshes is understanding, first of all, that it's referring back a few lines to the Mishnah, that it's referring back to Chakiris, not Bedikas. And second of all, that it's not that two of them said Eini Yodea, it's on the contrary. Two of them said Yodainu, we do know. One of them says not. So they ask them, for example, what Shmita in the Yovel cycle was it? And two of them identify it, and the third one says, I don't know. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying, Edus and Ptela, we're saying that Edus is bottle. Kiman, now what would that be like? Kidabakiva, Demakish Shloisha Lashnaim. Evidently, that would mean that our Mishnah, according to Rav Sheshes, is understanding, therefore, it means our Mishnah would go like Rabbi Akiva, who equates two like three. Namely, we learned about this earlier in our Masechta. The main place is in a Mishnah in Makos that we say over there, the Pasuk says, Alpi Shnei Edim, or Alpi Shloisha Edim, last week's Parasha. So there's a hekesh between two and three Edim. What does that hekesh come to teach us? Rabbi Akiva understands. Rabbi Akiva understands, actually Rashi says that actually in the Mishnah over there, it's Rabbi Shimon saying this, but Rabbi Akiva talks about it further. Rabbi Akiva talks about it in the Mishnah. Rashi understands that Rabbi Shimon is that Rabbi Akiva agrees with what Rabbi Shimon says and adds a further detail. So you have first Rabbi Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah, and then later on you have Rabbi Akiva's. Tosfos doesn't like that expression, because then the fact is, our Gemara should have mentioned Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who say that Rabbi Shimon points out the detail that in order for them to be Edim Zomim, you have to be Mazim all three of them. Right. If other Edim come and say to two of them, Imanu Hayusem, but the third one not, then you can't make them Edim Zomim. Rabbi Akiva then goes on in the Mishnah to say that if one of the three turns out to be a Kodesh apostle, then you throw out the whole Edim. As opposed to the Chachamim would say, Tiskayim or Edus B'Shar. You allow, fine, that one is withdrawn from the Edus, and you have the two who are not Kreivim or Psalim, and you continue with that.
According to Rav Shimon, you would say.
According to Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon doesn't say clearly one way or the other. He just says that if you, when you're mazim, you have to be mazim all of them. But so Rashi understands that Rav Akiva agrees with Rav Shimon and is just adding another detail. Tosfos over here says, I don't like that explanation. And Tosfos says that the point is, if one of the Edim says, I don't know, that would be the equivalent of him being a Korav apostle. Rav Akiva is the one who's saying that if one of them is a Korav apostle, that's it. The whole Edus is thrown out. So that's what our Gemara is mentioning over here. We're saying, therefore, if Rav Sheshes is understanding our Mishnah to say that with Chakiris, you have three Edim coming in the first place. They ask them one of the seven Chakiris, and one of these three says, Edi Yedea, we're saying Edus and Tzela. That would have to be according to Rav Akiva. Amar Rava, V'Hoidus and Tayemes, Satani, Rava says, well, how could you say that? The Mishnah ended up saying that Edus and Tayemes. How are you changing that to Edus and Tzela?
Are you saying two instead of two out of three?
No, but that's fine. That, it means two out of three, but fine. Right. That's not a problem. But why? How you can say? Ella, Omar Rava Hachikama. No, Rava says what the Mishnah means is as follows: the Afilu of our Mishnah is indeed referring back to the Chakiris, but in a different way. Hachikama, Afilu b'Chakiris.
Right.
Even when it comes to Chakiris, Shnayim Em Yadainu VeEchad Em Ein Yadei. If two of them say we know, and one of them says I don't know, Edus and Kayemes, then their Edus is valid. Command the loyker of Akiva, which means, in other words, Rava is saying that our missionary is taken not like Rav Akiva. According to Rav Akiva, we would have to throw out the whole Edus.
Right.
According to the Chachamim over there, we say Tiskayim Edus Bashar. Fine, this is Tiskayim Edus Bashar.
So it's not like Rav
Akiva. Mefoshim asked the question. So what is Rava's advantage over Rav Sheshes? Either way, they're having to change the wording of the Mishnah a bit. So they give a few different. They give a few different answers. They give a few different answers. One of them is that to say that the Mishnah had said Kayemes and you have to change it to Betela, it's a very unusual thing to do that, to actually flip around what the Mishnah is saying. As opposed to say Kayemes, but to refer it to an earlier line of the Mishnah, to say that it's talking about Hakiris. Now rather than Hakiris, that's not such a hard thing to do. It's not so hard to say that it's referring back. Especially some of the Achronim talk about the idea that even that Rava maybe doesn't even have to change the wording of the Mishnah, or maybe at most you have to take out a Vav or something and say the implication is by Bedikah if two of them say any Yedea, that's still fine. The implication being by Hakiris that wouldn't work. The implication being by Hakiris, that would also work, provided that, as long as, by Bedikas, even if two of them out of three say we don't know, that's still fine, because even if all three of them said, it would still be okay. The implication being by Hakiris, it's fine if one of them says I don't know, as long as you have two other ones saying I know, saying that we know, and then giving an answer. But you need at least two.
Right.
So therefore, it's not necessarily changing the word in the Mishnah so much. It's just sort of a drawing out an implication from the words. As opposed to Rav Sheshes, has to actually change the wording. Okay. Rav Kahana and Rav Safra Tonu Sanhedrin Bei Rabba. Rav Kahana and Rav Safra learned Masechta Sanhedrin in the yeshiva of Rabba. Hogabahu Rami Bachama. One day, Rami Bachama met up with them. Amalahu, we ask them, Mayam Ritu Baba Sanhedrin de Rabba. What are you saying? What kind of chidushim are you coming up with over there in Sanhedrin, in the yeshiva of Rabba? Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, you're learning by an Adam Gadol, you're learning by a great person like Rabba, you must have come up with a lot of chidushim. Let me hear something. Amrilay, so they answer him, Mayam Ritu Baba Sanhedrin greater, sir. So, and if we weren't learning by Rabba, so you could ask, what are we learning? What are we learning in Sanhedrin in general? Or my kashalach, what exactly is your kasha? The way you're coming to us, it implies there's something you're finding difficult, and you're figuring we who are learning by Rabba must have an answer to that. What is it? What are you wondering about? Amalahu, so he answers them, Mehodeh Katani. I have a problem with what it says in our Mishnah. Mabin Chakiris Lebedikas. We said in the Mishnah what's the difference between Chakiris and Bedikas. Chakiris Echadayim Eini Yedeya Edus and Tzela. With the seven Chakiris, or the other basic ones, we said if one of them says, I don't know, then the Edus is bottle. Bedikas Elma Echad Eini Yedeya. Ba'afil Shnayim Eim Eini Yoyedin. With Bedikas, if one says, I don't know, or even if both of them say, I don't know, Edus and Kayemes, the Edus is still valid. Rama Bachama says the problem that with that I have is, Mechdi, let's consider it. Aidi Va'aidi Dar Aidi. Well, that's the halacha. That's what the Mishnah says.
Say,
if both of them say Bedikas, I don't know. If they both say, I don't know what color shirt he was wearing, that's fine. It's still Kayamis. The problem with that is, Mechti, let's consider, Aidi v'Aidi Dorai, see? Both Chakiris and Bedikas are equally well required minat Torah. Chakiris, we said, because of the Derashta v'Chakarta v'Sha'alta, and then Bedikas because of V'Sha'alta. So both of them come midaraisa, maishna chakiris and maishna bedikas. Why should there be a difference? Why should it be? The same way as we say the chakiris, they both have to give an answer, and if they don't, edusim tela. Why, taka, shouldn't we say the same thing by bedikas, that if one or both of them says any yadeya, then
there would be two even by bedikas?
Yeah, that's the question.
Right.
Omrulay, they answered him, hochi hashta. How are you thinking to compare those two? Bachakiris, on the echad, any yadeya, edusim tela, the reason why bachakiris, if one of them says, I don't know, the reason why the edus is batel is to have your edus shi'at the yachal azimah. Because then you're back to the problem. It's an edus that can't be mozem. Because once they say that can't be muzah, the whole point of the Sheva Chakiras is to establish the exact time and the exact place of the thing, such that if other Edim come and say Imanu Yisem on that day, at that time, in another place, then they will be Edim Zonim. If they leave out any of the seven Chakiras, you can't do that. Because, let's say, for example, even the one they left off was what Shmita in the Yovel was it. Fine, but other Edom might come and say, that entire Shmita of that Yovel, you were with us in a different country.
So the question is, Chakiris are to prevent...
To allow for, to make it possible for there to be Hazama. To make it possible that if other Edom come and say, Imanu Hayisim, at such and such a time, regardless how much detail they're giving of the time, whether they're saying you were with us on a certain day or whether they're saying you were with us in a certain week or month or what have you, whatever it is, they'll be able to do Hazama. Therefore, each one of those is essential.
As opposed to
Bedikas, Omer Echad Edim Mehen Eni Yodea. But when it comes to Bedikas, if one of them says, I don't know, Edus and Kayemis, the Edus is valid because Edus Shati Yachol Hazima, because it's an Edus that could be Muslim. There's nothing preventing you from... Hazama doesn't have to do with what color shirt the guy was wearing or whatever. Chakiris, each one of them is needed in order to provide the possibility of Hazama. Bedikas, the whole definition of Bedikas is you ask about other things other than the time and date and place.
Which is not subject.
So therefore, it has nothing to do with Hazama, yeah. So therefore, that's a valid reason for... That's a valid reason to make that distinction between Chakiris and Bedikas. So Rami Bachama says to them, if that's the chiddush that you learned in Rabbah's yeshiva, tuva amrituba, then yeah, you've said a very important point. Rashi says, you have many reasons, you have many deep understandings in Masechta Sanhedrin. Evidently, that was a very good answer. Amrilei, they answered him, actually, not necessarily. Mitivusi demar amrinin batruva. Because you're being good, and because you're being good to us, and you're agreeing that it's a good answer, therefore, yes, we can say that we said a lot. Minizihusi demar, but if there had been a rebuke from you, in other words, if you had wanted to ask Tashis on that, loy amrinin bov loy chodah, then we wouldn't have said anything. In other words, you could have easily, this argument that we're mentioning to distinguish between Chakiris and Bedikas, it's an argument as far as it goes. It has, you could conceivably have had ways of schlugging it up.
No.
He could have, whatever, he could have pointed out. The fact is, fine, it's not Aedus Shati Yochel Azimah. The fact is, they're both required Darai, so who cares whether it's Aedus Shati Yochel Azimah or not, or who cares whether it's essential for Hazama or not. So if you had objected to us, then yeah, you might well have said we haven't learned anything because there must be deeper levels in this. But like this, you're agreeing, okay? So then you agree. So then we learned a fine thing over there.
You guys are ahead of the game twice.
So they're saying, in other words, they're saying that the answer is fine as far as it goes, but it's not like the bulletproof answer.
And the fact that after all, you could still argue
that the distinction could be disputed. Yeah. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Echad Oyma.
What did they say in the first place?
So they asked him what they said the answer, because the answer, it's an answer. It's not the last word on it, but it's an answer. We said Echad Oyma. We said that if one of the Edim says it was on the second of the month and the other says it was the third of the month, that's okay because it means one of them knew that the previous month was 29 days and the other one thought it was 30 days. On the other hand, we said if they were 2 days apart, then the Edus is bottled.
But wait a minute.
If one says it was the third of the month and the other says it was the fifth, then no good. They're clearly contradicting.
One says the 28th and the other one says the 27th.
Ah, that's what we're going to say. Ad kama, how far into the month can we say that they can be off a day? Amar Rav Acha b'Chanina, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan, ad rubei shel chodesh. Only until most of the month has passed. So only until the 15th has passed. After that, because after that, we assume they should have already heard whether it was a 29-day month or a 30-day month the previous month. So then, yes, if one said the 27th and one said the 28th, gone. Amar Rava Achanan Nami Tanena. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Rava says you can see that from the wording of our Mishnah. We said Echad Emer B'Shloisha VeEchad Emer B'Hei. We said that if one of them said it was the third of the month and the other said it was the fifth, wait, Edusim Taylor, we said their Edus is bottle. So the question is, Vamai Lachora, why should we say it's bottle? Name a Shazeya Deb Shnei Burin, Vazay Any Deb Shnei Burin. Why shouldn't we assume that it's conceivable one of them knew that the last 2 months were 30-day months and the other one did not?
But not up to the
15th. So therefore, you can prove from that after the 15th, you're expected to know. Right. That is why. You can't have a leeway. That's why. You can never have a leeway of 2 days.
30th. Yeah. You could say not the 15th, but the 30th.
Well, that's similar to what the answer is. That's the answer. Well, that's what we said. Yeah. That must mean because by the 15th, you're expected to know. The answer is no. La'olam emalach beruba nami le'yada. No, because you could argue you can't prove that from the wording of the Mishnah. Maybe even in the second half of the month, you may not know yet. But urishipura yada. But a person will know whether the shofar was blown by kiddush achodesh.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to blow shofar by kiddush achodesh. So therefore, b'chadshipura amar detoy. It's possible a person may have missed one shofar blowing, and therefore he thinks one particular month wasn't miskadish, was a chodesh mali, because they're not miskadish, a chodesh mali. We're not going to say that he missed two shofar blowings. So in other words, not necessarily from the Mishnah can you prove anything about what a person knows by the 15th or 16th or 17th of the month or whatever. All you can prove is a person knows when it was a person generally knows when it was a chodesh chaser and based in the miskadish lachodesh because they heard the shofar. But not anywhere. They were only Makadish in Yerushalayim, but apparently they blew shofar everywhere else, any place where there was a basin. So you can't say that he missed two shofars, but you could conceivably say that he missed one. The fact is, the halacha though is still like what Rabbi Chaim Chanina is saying that taka after the 15th of the month they are expected to know, and therefore there's no leeway of day.
What would make them more likely to know after the 15th?
Because by that time we expect people have already found out. I mean, like this, word has gone out. I mean, you even have the shluchim reached many all the places in Eretz Yisrael. That's why they only have one day Yom Tov. Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, points out, you know, given, for example, I mean, so remember, we asked them all the seven chakiris. We asked them, for example, what day of the week it was, and they both say Wednesday, for example. So now, when one of them is saying the second, and the other one says it's the third, we can assume it's because they knew Ibura Shachodesh. As opposed, Tosfos talked about that. As opposed to, for example, if one of them had said Tuesday the second, and the other one had said Wednesday the third, then that's it. There's nothing to talk about. Then they're obviously contradicting each other.
Today, you wouldn't apply that, obviously.
Yeah, not necessarily with the supply nowadays, because you have a fixed calendar. Yeah.
If someone says the 29th, right? Another one could say the hour be 2 days away because it was an every month.
An every month, you mean?
Yeah, every month.
Well, but if one says the 29th, then the other one says and the other one says the first, then he's. But no, because it. Well, okay. It could be off by a day, but it could be off by 2 days. Well, then, Taka, I guess we'd have to know. Was it a Chodesh Moller, a Chodesh Chaser? And then,
right.
Okay. Since we're talking about that concept, about something until the middle of the month, and it was said by Rav Acha b'Chanina in the name of Rav Asi in the name of Rav Yechanan. So now we're going to have another thing from the same on a related topic and from the same chain of authority. But Amar Rav Acha b'Chanina, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan. Ad kama mevorchen al chodesh. Until what point in the month can you bench the levana? Can you say kiddush levana? Ad shetismale pegimosa. Until its missing part is filled in. Until its concavity is filled in. Vekama, so what is that? Wait 1 second. Vekama, how much is that? Amr of Yaakov Ba'idi, Amr of Yehuda Ad Shiva. That means until the 7th of the month. Wait. Nahodoy Amri Ad Shisha. So the Chachamim of Nahoda saying until the 16th. Vetavayu Kirab Yechanan Svir Lahu. Namely, both of them are agreeing with what Rabbi Yechanan said. Ad Shismala Pigimasa. They're just differing on understanding what Rabbi Yechanan means by that. Hol Meviki Yisra. Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi Omer of Yehuda holds that what Rabbi Yochanan says, Al Tishnala Pigimasa, means when it's not concave anymore, when the concavity is filled in other words, when it's a half moon. That's the seventh of the month. Holomevi Kinafia, where's the other opinion? Then Haudai, say it means until it's completely full, which is the middle of the month. Yeah. Well, the Gemara over here says the 16th, and there is a vast amount of discussion. There is a vast amount of discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim about the details of this. The generally accepted halacha is that, strictly speaking, you're only able to do Kiddush Levana until halfway through Choftes Yud Beis Tashtag. The average length of a month is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halachim. It's on that basis that we calculate the Moladus that are printed in the calendars and that we announce every Shabbos Mevarachim. You take half of that, and that point is the point that you find in the calendars when it says Sosman Kiddush Levana. Is based on that, right?
based on
taking the molad and adding 14 days and 18 hours and whatever, however many 300 and some halakim to that. Why are we saying the 16th over here? So there is, by the way, the Maharil adds another detail, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, which is if in a particular month there's a lunar eclipse, usually the molad that we announce in Shul and that's printed on the calendars is not the true molad; it's an average. Because the actual lunar months are different in length. Some are longer, some are shorter. If you have a lunar...
How do you get it? By just adding every
by
month?
By just adding every month, a fixed amount. Right. But in truth, there's a much more complicated calculation, which the Rambam gives in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, to figure out the exact moment when the sun and the moon are in a straight line, in conjunction, it's called. So then, if you have in a particular month, if you have a Likri Levana, if you have a lunar eclipse in a certain month, which then, by definition, the moon is opposite the sun, is on the opposite side of the earth from the sun, after that, you can't do Kiddush Levana anymore, because then you know the middle of the month has already come. With that said, there are some of the Rishonim who say, especially based on the fact that our Gemara does mention the 16th, that maybe b'dieved you can do Kiddush Levana until the 16th, on the grounds that, even though it's true technically after the middle of the month, starting to wane. It's an old moon already, but it's not visibly different. It's not much visibly different on the 15th versus the 16th. So there are
different from the 14th. That's for sure.
But not really visible.
The 14th and 16th should be the same
today. In other words, if you have one day after the full moon, one day after the actual full moon, it's not necessarily visibly different.
Yeah. 2 days.
No, because the full moon isn't always the 14th. Often it's the 15th. It depends when the molad is relative to Rosh Chodesh. So it's brought in Shulchan Aruch and in the various Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch. But ideally, you're supposed
to not on 14.
It varies. It's not a fixed thing. How many times a year? It depends on the relationship of the molad to Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes the molad is on Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes the day before. Sometimes 2 days before. That's if you look on the calendars, you'll see sometimes it says Sleif Sman Kiddush Levana is the entire night going into the 16th, sometimes the entire night going into the 15th, sometimes it's on the 14th, sometimes on the 14th, it all depends.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Talking about the eclipse of the moon?
Of the moon, we're talking about.
You mean an eclipse of the moon on the 15th?
Whenever an eclipse of the moon takes place, by definition, that means the moon and the sun are on opposite sides of the earth. That means, in other words, by definition, you're at the middle of the lunar month.
Well, why is the moon dark? On half of it.
What?
Why is the moon dark on half of it?
Because the part that's facing away from the sun is dark.
It always rotates with.
Well, I'll explain that.
But we don't have to.
On an eclipse,
in a lunar eclipse, the moon is in the earth's shadow.
Lunar eclipse.
Okay. Anyway.
Lunar.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Okay, so anyway, so in Shulchan Aruch, practically speaking, in Shulchan Aruch it brings, you should do Kiddush Levana before the middle of Choftes Yud Beis Tashtag, or before an eclipse, if there's going to be a lunar eclipse that month. B'dieved, if you didn't, then you have maybe until the 16th, and after that, if you want to do that, they talk about even then, what you should do is, the next piece of Gemara, actually, which we're not going to get to today at this point, we'll get to tomorrow, has the actual nusach of the bracha. In that case, what some of the poskim say is, in that case, if you have a topic, whether to do Kiddush Levana, take out a Gemara Sanhedrin, read this piece of Gemara, where it says that the bracha is Baruch Hashem Ma'amore Baruch Shachem Uvruach Tziv Kol Tzvam, etc., etc. And there, you learn a piece of Gemara, and that way in case you're able to do Kiddush Levana, you can be yotze that way. But ideally, do it before this man, and then you don't have a problem.
The halacha is what? The moon?
The halacha is you have to do it before Choftes Yud Beis Tashtag. As far you have to do it before half of that, rather. Before 14 hours, 18, 14 days, 18 hours, and whatever halakim after the molad. The Dievet. If you didn't, then you have a after the Merlot, after the average Merlot is
on the real.
Yeah, the Merlot is quenched in the counters. Yeah. After that, the Dievet, you have a little more. You have a little more leeway sometimes. As far as the minimum time to say it, by the way, the Gemara over here doesn't talk about what's the earliest you can say it. The Rambam holds you can say it even from the beginning of the month. Many other Rishonim say that you can that the minimum is a third of the month, and the grounds for that is because that's the earliest that you can really benefit from the light of it, because that before three days old you're not really getting much light from it. And then Al Pi Kabbalah you should start only do it from the seventh, which is how we do it, which is why, by the way, they say that's hinted at in our Gemara. When Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi Omer Rabbi Yehuda Ab Shiva, we learned it means until the seventh. You have from the beginning of the month until the seventh. But you can also understand they mean it to say from the seventh is the beginning of the time, and then Ado, you're saying until the 16th, which is the end of the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then I'll pick up all of that's how it is. You shouldn't do it before the seventh of the month. What? So according to that, it would be that there would be that there's no machlokas. I mean, on the face of it, there is. But yeah.
Okay. What? Now explain to me that it's sheer.